Today's daf is Yevamos daf Tesvav, and we are 16 lines from the top of daf Yud Dalid Amid Beis Ta Shema. Today's daf is being learned as a schus refuah shalema for Avadia ben Miriam Leah, Moshe Abba ben Devora, Devora bas Mecha, Shmu ben Tehila, Elazar Lipa Shalom ben Fega Rachel, Sar Nechama bas Rus Malka, Baruch ben Rachel, Yisachar ben Hinda Liba, Malka Miriam bas Esther, and Esther Kreindel bas Devora. Today's daf is also being learned Le'ilu Nishmas, Mordechai Moshe ben Zelig, and Le'ilu Nishmas Shlomo ben Yibada L'chaim Toivim, Reb Chaim Doiv. So we're in the middle of a sugya, which is really a digression from the very intense sugyas in the beginning of Masechtas Yevamos. It's the sugya of Loisus Goydedu, Me'inyin Le'inyin. It's the sugya of whether or not Beis Shammai, who throughout Shas argued with Beis Hillel, did they actually conduct themselves based on their own shittos, or did they understand that even though they saw the world a certain way, but the halacha was like Beis Hillel, and it's for that reason they actually followed Beis Hillel. Now, how did we get into this shaila? It's because the first sugya, Masechtas Yevamos, deals with the halacha that an erva that falls liyibum is patim and a chalitza min ayibum. A tsaras erva that falls liyibum is patim and a chalitza min ayibum. A tsaras erva at soifa olam that falls liyibum is patim and a chalitza min ayibum. And the Mishnah said that this halacha, that a tsaras erva is not a yevama, and she's patim and a chalitza min ayibum, was the shita of Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai, however, argued, and Beis Shammai was mater tzaras erva l'shok. And then the Mishnah digressed a little bit. The Mishnah said that even though Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel had a difference of opinion as it relates to the law of a tzaras erva, according to Beis Shammai, if the Yavam would be miyabim the tzaras erva, he's mekayim a mitzvah esed deiraisa of Yavam yavayola. According to Beis Hillel, if the Yavam would be miyabim the tzaras erva, he'd be boyol chayve krisos eshasach shaloi b'makam mitzvah. According to Beis Shammai, the tzaras erva, if she would marry someone other than the Yabam, without there ever being chalitza, she would violate the loisase in the Torah of loisia eshes ameisachutza lishzar. According to Beis Hillel, the tzaras erva is not a yavama. As a result, there is no loisase of loisia eshes ameisachutza lishzar, which means that the status of the tzaras erva is very different according to Beis Shammai, that is according to Beis Hillel, which can create issues from a Shidduchim perspective, if someone from Beis Shammai was going to marry into Beis Hillel, or if someone from Beis Hillel was going to marry into Beis Shammai. So the Mishnah says that so gedai techamina, ich volt gevolt meinen, that maybe because of this situation and others, as we're about to see, maybe the people that followed Beis Shammai would have refrained from marrying into a family of Beis Hillel, and the people that followed Beis Hillel would have refrained from marrying into the family of Beis Shammai. Says the Mishnah, that was not the case. Rather, loy nimnu Beis Shammai mi lisa nashe mi Beis Hillel, v'loy Beis Hillel mi Beis Shammai. Said the Gemara, it certainly sounds like, from the Mishnah, that even though Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel had difference of opinions, but at the end of the day, Beis Shammai did not follow Shitas Beis Shammai. And that would explain why the Mishnah said that Lo Nimnu, why that they didn't refrain from marrying with each other, because although if they would have followed their Shita, it could have resulted in problems, but at the end of the day, they didn't follow their Shita. As for that reason, it wasn't an issue. Stating that, the Gemara said that really was a big Machloikis Amayra. Machloikis Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, Machloikis between Rav and Shmuel. Rabbi Yochanan and Shmuel both said, Asu v'asu. Then not only did Beis Shammai argue in so many different areas of halacha, but asu va'asu, they filed their own opinions as well. If that's the case, how could the Mishnah say lo nimnu Beis Shammai mi lisa nashem mi Beis Hillel v'loy Beis Hillel mi Beis Shammai? So the Gemara said it's because before they would marry into the other respective school, they would be informed of the yichus of this particular shidduch that's being read, and they would know, is she the enakul of a tzara serva? Is she the enakul of a yavama l'shog? And like this, they knew exactly what was going on. And once they knew what was going on like this, they had nothing to worry about. But the bottom line is, a major machloikis amayram, whether the Talmidim of Shammai, who had their own worldview in so many different areas of halacha, did they actually follow their worldview? Or because of the fact that the halacha, at the end of the day, is like Beis Hillel, they themselves acknowledge the fact that the halacha was like Beis Hillel, and they follow Beis Hillel. There's just one thing that's worth mentioning before we start the daf. And again, we said yesterday during the course course of the daf that there were several related raid bites on this whole topic of Isham Bisil. Today, Be'ezus Hashem, again, there'll be several related raid bites to the topic of Isham Bisil, and all these raid bites give a little bit of a time to just the backdrop and the background of what the Machlokes Isham Bisil was, and I believe adds a lot of richness just to understanding these dafin and yevamos, yudalid and tezvav, and we'll see again tomorrow, tezayin. These dafin are literally exhibit A in terms of understanding Isham Bisil, but there's just one line in Mesilas Yesharim that we mentioned a few times in some of those raid bites, that's worth mentioning. And that's in the end of Perek Chaf. The name of the Perek is called Mishkal HaChasidus. And the Mesilas Yesharim, the Ramchal says, quote, "V'zeh she'inyin machloikis b'shamay and b'silo ha'yinyin kovid l'Yisrael." The machloikis between b'shamay and b'silo was an inyin kovid l'Yisrael. It was very shver for Klal Yisrael. M'pnei machloikis ha'gdoilu she'rofsa b'neim. Because of the great machloikis that existed between the two camps. V'soif soif nigmar. And at the end, it was finally resolved. Sh'alocha ki b'silo lo'olam. That the halacha is always going to be like b'silo. And how is it nigmar? Al yedei abaskol. Hine says the Ramchal, ki yuma shal toira. In order for the Torah to have a kiyum, it's important shegmar din ze yishar bechol toikef, that this gmar din should be this way, lo ad ulo ol me olamin v'lo yechlash b'shum ponim, and it should never be weakened and diluted in any way. Shloi teyase Torah chas v'cholilo kishtei Torahs. Because otherwise, if we ever go back to the world of Ishamay and Bisil, the Torah can chalila literally become two Torahs. Just to have a little bit of a feel of how the Ramchal, the hair, the machloikis between Ishamay and Bisil, in terms of what went on from a historical perspective, from a halachic perspective, and from a sakonas ruchni perspective, that this was so critical that at the time, before this was all resolved, there was mamash a risk, there was a concern that maybe the Torah would chalila be two Torahs. Either way, despite all the drama, there were Amayron that were of the opinion that Bishamai never really followed their own shita. It was just more in Kaisle Bismedrish that they were dinging zech and they were coming out differently. Other Amayron held not that way. That was very much the topic of yesterday's daf, and that is very much going to be the topic of today's daf. We're going to continue along with the Gemara is going to bring Toshma after Toshma after Toshma. The entire daf is going to be Toshmas regarding this Shiloh. Tomorrow's daf is going to begin again with Toshmas. So again, this is one long hemshech, one long sugya, a diversion from the intense Yevamos sugyas. So on that note, 16 lines from the top of daf Yud Dalet Amud Beis, Zok Deheilige Gemara, Toshma, we learned to the Braisa, Af Alpi, Shenechliku B'Shami B'Sol, B'Tzarois, even though B'Shami B'Sol argued with regards to Tzaris, right? What's the machlokes regarding Tzaris? Tzaras Erva. Is she Neifeles Le'Yibum? She does B'Shami? Or she's Potem and Achalitza and Ayibum? She does B'Sol. U'ba'achoyos. Additionally, you find there was machlokes between B'Shami and B'Sol in another area that would impact Dine Ishus and Dine Shadochim, and that's regarding sisters. So this is also a sugya in Masechtas Yevamos, a sugya that we're going to learn about in Perek Arba'achin, and that is a case where there were four brothers, two of them were married to sisters, and the two brothers that were married to sisters both died, left over no children. So that the two sisters are now falling liyibum to the two brothers. So we know that halacha is that the two brothers that are alive are not allowed to do yibum. And the reason is because each one of the Yevamos, although she's a Yevama, she's also the sister of the other Yevama, also known as Achois Kukasai. Achois Kukasai is Chayletzes, because really it's nothing Midairaisa, Abavaloi Mesiabenes, Midrabanan, you can't do Yibum, because Midrabanan is viewed as an Erev. This halacha of Achois Kukasai is really machloikis between Bisham and Bisol. So this was another area in the world of Ishos where Bisham and Bisol had a major machloikis, Beget Yashan. Another area in Ishos where Bisham and Bisol argued was regarding Get Yashan. This is a sugya in Masechtas Gittin. The case is where there was a man that wrote a get because he wants to divorce his wife, and after he wrote the get, he was miyached together with his wife. And this is an idea that maybe if he's miyached with his wife after he wrote the get, so somehow that's mevatel the get, and she's not going to be considered migureshes with this get. Ubesofik eishes ish. Another place where you find there was machloikis with Bisham and Bisol as it relates to Ishus, is regarding the Safik Eishes Ish. So Rashi has two pshat and what the Safik Eishes Ish is. The longer pshat Rashi brings, which is the pshat that Rashi says is Nira, the Lishna Achrina, the second pshat, the cases where there was a Shchiv Merah. There was a person lying on his deathbed, and he wrote a get to his wife, but he only wants to divorce his wife in the event that he's going to end up dying, for whatever reason. So he says, HaReza Gitech, Mehayoim Im Amos. So the halach is that during that time frame, meaning until we figure out whether he's going to live or die from his illness that he's dealing with, she's considered a suffocatious ish, and this impacts in Allah, as machayis b'shayim b'sol, how you treat this case. Umekaris ish, another case with this machayis b'shayim b'sol, in an era of ishus was, if somebody divorces his wife, v'lam imoy b'pundik, and then afterwards they were meyachit together in a pundik. So this is different than the get yashan. The get yashan, the husband did not give the get yet. In this case, he was megarish his ishtay. He actually divorced his wife, and afterwards they were together in a pundik. They were in a state of yichud. We assume that probably there was a bia. Not only that, it's yitachin, it was a bia l'shem kedushin, and as a result, we look at them as being married again. But not everybody agrees with that. It was machloikis b'shayim b'sol. Another area that was machloikis in hilchas ishus regarding b'shayim b'sol is how ha'isha niknes b'sholish drachem b'kesef shtaru bia. How much money? How much kesef? So what's the halacha b'kesef u'b'shava kesef b'pruta u'b'shava pruta? According to a base Hillel, the amount of money that a man would have to give a woman to be Mekadisha would be a pruta. Everyone knows that. Isha niknes b'shava pruta. But it's only shitas b'sil. B'shamay, in the first Mishnah, Maseches Kedushin says, it's not a pruta, but rather it's a dinar. What's the point? The point is that there's so many machloikas in between b'shamay and b'sil that would impact shiduchim, that would impact ishus, that could have mamzer implications. It's just so obvious. Each one of these cases, if you just play it out, it's obvious how you can have tremendous nafgaminas. And still, says the b'raisa, lo nimnu Beishamai, mi lisa noshem mi beisilo, v'loy beisilo mi beishamai. Beishamai and beisilo, they had no problem marrying with each other. Lila metcha to teach us, shechib of res, noigim zebezeh, that they loved each other and they were chaverim, l'kayim ha-shanemar, ha-emes va-shalom ehavu, that there was emes, but at the same time, shalom. Meaning, each person had his shita, they had his principles. But at the same time, they were willing to look away a little bit. Mipnei ha-shalom. Bottom line is, the Braisa says that even though there were so many different areas in Halacha where B'shamay B'sol argued in the world of Ishus, but still at the same time, they used to continue married. Which, by the way, just to stop for 1 second, this Braisa is just an elaborated version of what the Mishnah said. The Mishnah said it regarding Tzaras Erva, that's the sugya of the day. The Braisa is not in Yevamis per se, so it's just focusing a little bit more on different areas in Halacha where you can see there would be major issues, nafkaminas, between B'shamay and B'sol. But the Maskana is the same Maskana. What did the Mishnah say? Lo nimnu, they used to marry each other. And that's exactly what the Braisa says. Stating that, the Braisa continues. And the Braisa says, Rav Shimon, Aymer, Rav Shimon says, nimnu hein min havad, lo nimnu min asafik. They were nimna. If there was ever a vaday problem, meaning if they knew for sure there was going to be a problem, then they would not get married. If there was a safek it would be a problem, then they would get married. So the Gemara's Toshma is going to be from Reb Shimon. So the Gemara, Iyam Reb Bishloimo Asu, Bishloimo, if Bishamay fell Bishamay, and they didn't acquiesce to the fact that Allah was like Bishil Mishal Machi Nimdu, then I understand Shitas Reb Shimon. I understand why, according to Reb Shimon, they were nimna. The reason they were nimna was they're getting into problems. Eli'i amrit lo yasu. But if you're going to tell me lo yasu, am I nimnu? So why were they nimna? What's the problem? They anyways didn't follow their own shita. So what's pshat and shita's Reb Shimon? Reb Shimon says they were nimna. Why were they nimna? Now just to be clear, in yesterday's daf, the Gemara brought a raya from the Shita Sachachamim. Now, we didn't know this Braisa yesterday. We knew the Mishnah, but like we just said, the Mishnah and the Braisa's first Shita is really the same Shita. We know the Shita that they were Loi Nimna. And the Gemara thought, oh, that's a Raya. If they were Loi Nimna, they were probably Loi Asu. Gemara says, it's not a Raya. Maybe Loilam they were Asu. Aye, why were they Loi Nimna? Because they were Maidia them. Now we're bringing a Raya from the other Shita, the Shita Reb Shimon. This seems to be a checkmate Raya. Because Reb Shimon says they were Nimna. Why were they Nimna? You can explain why they would be loy nimna even if you hold asu. Because you could tell me that they gave them a yichas briefs. Like this, they knew it wasn't a problem. But if they were loy asu, why would they have been nimna? So that's the hoysof in this tashma versus the previous tashma. And this would seem to be checkmate. At the end of the day, Reb Shimon holds they were nimna. So l'chura, it's muchrach that they were asu. So from Shitas Reb Shimon, l'chura, you have a raya that they were nimna. But the Gemara says, 1 second, before we bring any rayas, v'tizbara, let's see if we can understand this a little bit better. Nei, namid asu, even if you'll tell me that they were asu. Meaning, that's why Reb Shimon holds they were nimna. Bishlamid Beisil nimna v'beishamai. I understand why Beisil was nimna from Beishamai, the Chavi Krisis nimna. Because at the end of the day, in the case of Tzaras Erva, we'll hold that for a second, but in the case of Tzaras Erva, it's Beisil has to be worried about Beishamai. Why? Because Beishamai is matet tzaras erva to the Yavam, coin to base Hillel. She is an Eshesach Shalei Maga Mitzvah. As a result, the Yavam, who's boiled the Tzaras Erva, is being over in Chayvei Krisos, and any children that are born are going to be Umam Zerim Heim LeBesol. They can be Umam Zerim according to Besol. El Beishamai Amai Nimno Besol. But why would Beishamai have had a problem according to Besol? Meaning, the Gemara says, before we get excited, and before we bring any rice for Rav Shimon, let's see if we can understand Rav Shimon a little bit better. Because there's an obvious question, Zok the Gemara, that jumps off the page in Shitas Rav Shimon. I understand why Beis Hillel would have had problems from Beis Shammai. But why would Beis Shammai have problems from Beis Hillel? At the end of the day, what are you worried about? You're worried that the Tzaras Erva did what? Oh, Beis Hillel said she doesn't need Chalitza. Beis Hillel says she's Muteres Lashon. Okay, she'll be over in Beis Shammai's world, the love of Leisei Eishes HaMeisa Chutza Lishza. And what are you worried about? You're worried that maybe you can end up marrying her child, her enagel, Bnei Chayvi Lavin Inu, Vikshayr Inu, they're kosher anyways. Bnei Chayvi Krisas Amam Zerim, but Bnei Chayvi Lavin Aksherim, and for the Gemara, no. The reason Rav Shimon had a problem was because Amr Rav Nachma Yitzchok, it's like Rav Nachma Yitzchok said, we'll see it later in the daf, Nachma Yitzchok, to answer a similar question, answered, quote, the concern is not that the person's going to marry the enokel of the tzara. The concern is the person's going to actually marry the tzara. So to over here, the concern was that the person's going to actually marry the tzara. Before we go weiter, just to speak out an obvious question, which is Tosfos Kasha, and that is, so the Gemara mentioned Shitas Rav Shimon. What was Shitas Rav Shimon? Rav Shimon says, not like the Mishnah and Daf Yud Gimel, not like the Tanakam and the Brayer said that loy nimnu b'sham b'sol, but rather Rav Shimon said nimnu. And the Gemara asked, I don't really understand Shitas Rav Shimon. I understand why Beis Hillel would have been Nimna from Beis Shammai. But why would Beis Shammai have been Nimna from Beis Hillel? Beis Hillel is Nimna from Beis Shammai because he may bump into a mamzer. But Beis Shammai has no problem. But Beis Shammai's problem with Beis Hillel. Bnei Chavi Laminenu. That Ksherim. And the Gemara had to be matchik. That you worried that maybe you're going to get married to a woman. You're going to find out later she was a Tzara Serefa. I mean, that's really Lo Shchicha. Maybe the enokel of a Tzara Serefa several generations later. Again, it's a larger pool of people. But you marry the actual Tzara Serefa. You can see why the Gemara and the Havamina didn't like it. Oh, but the Gemara said that's the maskon. Of a fake Tosfos, I don't understand. The Braisa didn't just mention one machloikus between Bishai and Bissel. The Braisa didn't only mention that Bishai and Bissel were nechliku and Tzara Serva. The Braisa mentioned the whole list of machloikus in. Achoyos, Get Yoshon, Sofik Eishas Ish, Megarish Es Ishtoi Velon, Ima Bepundik, Bekesef, Beshova Kesef, Prut, Beshova Prut. It also mentioned Tzara Serva. So Enechanami, in the Tzara Serva machloikus Bishai and Bissel, there Bissel needs to worry more about Bishai than Bishai has to worry about Bissel. But what about in all those other cases? You have machloikis and she is an Eishesish, she's not an Eishesish. There's real obvious cases where even Beis Shammai would have a problem with Beis Hillel. So what's Feit the Gemara? Reb Shimon says that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, they were both worried about Vadai. Feit the Gemara, Vadai Tzara Serva is not even an issue. Zok the Gemara, I mean, Feit Tosfos, what do you mean? And a Chanami, Vadai Tzara Serva is not a problem. But what about some of the other cases? Did he would have a problem? So Tosfos says that it's mashma from the Braisa that the Iker of Reb Shimon was because of Tzara Serva. That although it's true he's referring to and addressing everything else, but the Iker was Tzara Serva. And if the Iker was Tzara Serva, then it's mashma that Beis Hillel refrained from marrying into Beis Shammai according to Reb Shimon because of Tzara Serva. And Beis Shammai refrained from marrying to Beis Hillel because of Tzara Serva. And thus, right, the Gemara. Beis Shammai and Beis Shammai, I understand. But why Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel? And the Gemara answers it's because of the Chayvei Lavin. You're right. According to Beis Hillel, you're worried about Mamzeris. And Beis Shammai, you're worried about being over the love and the Torah of Leisiyah Eishas HaMeisachutz HaLeishzar. But again, Hodra, let's refocus. And that is, Zok the Gemara, that you see from Reb Shimon, that Reb Shimon says that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel would not marry into each other. If that's the case, L'chaira, we have a fester raya from Reb Shimon that Asu V'Asu, that Beis Shammai must have followed their Shita, because Beis Shammai didn't follow their Shita, why would they have had a problem marrying in together with Beis Hillel, and why would Beis Hillel have had a problem with Beis Shammai? And that really is the Gemara's hachra in this Toshma, that also was. But the Gemara goes weiter. And the Gemara just says that we just mentioned Reb Shimon Shita. Let's see if we can understand Reb Shimon Shita a little bit better. What did Reb Shimon say? They were nimnu from Vadai, but they weren't nimnu from Safik. I mean, if they knew there was a problem, that's when they were nimnu. But if it was a Safik, it was a problem, then they weren't nimnu. Faith to Gemara, Maishlam and Avadai, the Yisuruhu. Why were they nimnu from Vadai? Because of the Isser. Safik Nami Yisuruhu. Safik is also an Isser. It's a Sveikah Dei Raisa L'chumra. So they only Nimna from a Vadi, why weren't they Nimna from a Safik? So the Gemara clarifies Reb Shimon. Very important clarification. Lo yitame min ha-Safik, ela min ha-Stam. What Reb Shimon meant was that min ha-Stam, they had no problem. If there was a Vadai issue, then yeah. But if, or even if there was a Safik issue, then yeah. Meaning if they had reason to believe, even me Safik, that maybe there's a tzaras erev problem over here, they stayed away from the shidduch. They wouldn't pick up the shidduch. When did they? Minastam. So if Shimon's moida, the minastam they did. And the Gemara says, the reason is, the moida lohu parshe. Because the assumption is that if there was a problem, they would have been moidia then. And from the fact that nobody was moidia then, they assumed that that must be a sign that it's okay. So the Gemara, my kamash. So essentially, what's Reb Shimon saying? The havavere is, no, you can say that there was a ha'emes v'asholam eha, where they really wanted to marry with each other, so they used to be moidia each other. And really, minastam, we assumed everything was fine. The only time it wasn't fine is if they knew for sure there was a problem. So afraid to ha'inu reisha. That's mamash the chachamim shita. So what is Reb Shimon saying differently? Right, till now we thought that according to the chachamim, they were moidia. Reb Shimon said, no, even if you're moidia, it's still going to be an issue. But now we're saying it's not that case. It's not that way. The only time Reb Shimon had a problem is if he knew for sure there was a problem. What, Chum argue with that? Chum hold if they knew there was a problem, it's still mutter. Of course it wouldn't have been okay. What's the Chachamim saying? The Chachamim is saying is that Ha'em is fashal, I mean, we trust that everything's going to be okay. No, isn't that Reb Shimon? The Gemara says, yeah, Enochanami. How come Ashwat the Kula Reb Shimon? Yeah, it's not two shitas. Even though when you read the Brisa, it sounds a little bit like it's two shitas. Lo'ayim, it's really one sheet. It's all shitas Reb Shimon. There really is no machloikas in the Brisa. But the bottom line again, Asher Nogeil in Yonenu is, it certainly sounds like from the Braisa, that us over us. That's what we're saying. If they knew for sure there was a problem, even if there was a Suffolk problem, they would have stayed away from the Shidduch. Minastam, we trusted them, we assumed that everything was okay. That would certainly apply that at the end of the day, Beishamai followed Beishamai. Because if Beishamai never followed Beishamai, why are we having this conversation? Why are we talking about if it was Vadai and it was Suffolk as opposed to Stam? There is no other side. Beishamai didn't follow Beishamai. So why even discuss this? From the discussion of the Gemara, it's mashma that it really was asu va'asu. Stating that, the Gemara is going to go weiter and it's going to continue with a whole bunch of tashmas. Tashma, Amr Rabbi Yechiel ben Uri, Rabbi Yechiel ben Uri said, and we saw Rabbi Yechiel ben Uri's shita in yesterday's daf as well. Hey chalach zu, revachas bi Yisrael. Rabbi Yechiel ben Uri was very bothered by this machloikis between Bishan and Bisil. He said, I don't understand. You have a tzara serv. According to Bisil, she's muteris l'shuk. Also to the yavam. According to Beishamai, she's also l'shuk. She's mutal yavam. The stakes are too high to just allow Beishamai to do one way and Beisil to do another way. So Rabbi Yechiel ben Uri decided he's going to make a peace treaty. He's going to come and he's going to resolve this machloikis and tzaras erva between Beishamai and Beisil. And this is what he said. He said that I have a problem, right? First, the setup. Nasik devi Beishamai, havlad mamzel devi Beisil. If someone follows Beishamai, then has a baby in Beisil's world, the child's going to be a mamzer. Hsach shleib makam mitzvah. Nasik devi Beisil. If someone's going to follow Beisil, havlad pogum. This is the first time we saw this devi Beishamai. Even in Beishamai's world, the child is going to be a pogum. What does that mean? We'll see later in the daf. So Rabbi Yechiel ben Uri said, "Here's my yetzah. Bonus akalam letzaris. Let's make a takana for the tzaris. You choltes flame misyabnis. You do chalitza. Now, if they do chalitza, everything's going to be good. Why? Because if you do chalitza, according to Beishama, you'll satisfy that there's no problem with Yivam al-Shok. And if you do Chalitza, even according to Beisil, you didn't do anything wrong. To do Yivam is a problem, but to do Chalitza is not a problem. And as a result, like this, you'll never have an issue of Mamzeris through Eshesach Shleibim Makam Mitzvah, and you'll never have a child that's a pogrom because of Yivam al-Shok. This was Rabbi Yechiel ben Uri's patent. This was his Eitzah. L'maisa lo yispiku ligmar es hadavar at shenitrfa ashah. He tried doing it, but at the end of the day, lo yispiku ligmar. He didn't have a chance at shenitrfa ashah. Ezra Hashem, maybe we'll talk about this tomorrow. But the bottom line is, he tried implementing it. He couldn't implement it. Amalei Reb Shimon Gamliel, the Gemara says, Reb Shimon Gamliel heard about this, and he said, man nasa lehem letzara surishaynis. Meaning, when he heard about Rabbi Yechiel ben Uri's Eitzah, so he didn't like Rabbi Yechiel ben Uri's Eitzah. And the reason is, again, Rabbi Yechiel ben Uri's Eitzah got knocked out anyways. He tried putting it in place, and it was nitrifasha. Something happened in Shemayim that didn't allow this to play out. L'maisa, when Reb Shimon Gamliel heard about this, he didn't like it. He said, because what's going to end up happening with the tzaras harishonos? Meaning, if you're telling me now that really you shouldn't do Yibum, and really you should do Chalitza, even according to Beishamai, who's matat tzaras erva, so what happens with a Yavam in Beishamai's world, right, you see where we're going with this Tashma, that actually did Yibum, and now the child was born, the child was a mamzer. So what are you going to do with these children? You're going to turn them into mamzerim? So Reb Shimon Gamliel said that, Rabbi Yechiel ben Uri, I hear what you're trying to do, but you have to see the big picture. And the big picture is, we're going to end up with mamzerim here in the world of Beishamai. And that's not a good thing. So the Gemara says like this, if the chevra from Beishamai actually followed Beishamai, I know the come Manasseh. So I understand the Manasseh. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel said, I have a real problem. There's going to be children that are ksherim, that suddenly are going to be deemed to be psulim. Eli Amar lo yasu. But if you're going to tell me that really, lo yasu, my Manasseh, so what's the Manasseh? It never happened anyways. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, and this is where Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak comes in, that no, what Rav Shimon Gamliel was saying was not Manasseh Letzaris Harishonos, what's going to be with the Tzaris Ervas Aliba de Beishamai that had Yibum done, now suddenly we're going to think that those children are Mamzerim because Rav Yechim Nuri is Takana that really is supposed to do Chalitza. That never happened. There was no Beishamai. There was never a time where, even in Beishamai's world, a Yavam was Miyabim Tzara Serfa. You know what he was worried about? He's worried about Fakert. What happens with the Tzara Serfa in Beisil's world, which is also Beishamai's world, in the Olam HaMaisa, that got married without any Chalitza because of the fact she understood she was a Tzara Serfa, and a Tzara Serfa is Potem and a Chalitza Uminayibo. Now you're going to go ahead, and what are you going to say? That the Tzara Serfa needs Chalitza. This is the Takana of Rabbi Yechon Menuri. Why? To Bavar in the Shita of Beishamai. That's what he was worried about. Why? He said, the tzaris of Beis Hillel, they got married without any yibam v'chalitza. You want to now, bavar and shittas Beishamai, you want to say that maybe she's yivam on the shuk, maybe tzaris ever is more difficult, she needs chalitza. What should you do? Lichlitzu, should you do chalitza right now? Mimasu agavrayu. Interesting. It's going to cause the woman to be ma'us to her husband. Meaning, if she's going to have to go now to this Yavam and get a chalitza, it's going to affect her shalom bayis. And so you'll say, okay, so zayin. That's not the way the Torah works. The Torah is darki noyam, the Torah is shalom, and as a result, it can't go ahead and do chalitza. The reason you can't do chalitza is because, again, mikanu lahaba, you can make such a takana. But the problem is you have to look at all these froyin that in the avar got married without chalitza, and what's going to be with them? And you're going to tell them to take chalitza? We're so sensitive. And this is going to be literally the antithesis of that. And to say that, oh, she doesn't eat chalitza, you can't do that. You can't implement a takana like that. And for that reason, it wasn't done. But Zokta Gemara, we thought that from this shmooze, there was a raya that Beishamai actually followed Beishamai, but the Gemara says, really, there is no raya. Rabbi Yechon Menuri was bavarning the sheet of Beishamai, but he wasn't actually bavarning the actual lamaisa of Beishamai, and the reason is because even Beishamai never followed Beishamai. Third Toshma of the day, Toshma, Dom Reb Tarfin, a classic. Reb Tarfin said, it's three lines, but it's classic. Ta'avni, I have a taifa. Masai tovait tzaras abas liyodi ve'esoen. To be Mekayim, the mitzvah of Yibum with a Tzaras Abbas. Rav Tarfin wanted to be Miyabim a Tzaras Abbas. Rashi says right away, we know this Rashi, Rav Tarfin, the Eshte Kleine Shida, Mitalmide Beishamai Hoya. Rav Tarfin was a Talmud of Beishamai. And because Rav Tarfin was a Talmud of Beishamai, he wanted to follow Shittas Beishamai. But he wanted to make a point that the halacha is like Beishamai. He said, Masai tovei tzaras abas liyodai v'esoena. But what do you see from here? You see from Reb Tarfin that Beishamai actually followed Beishamai. So after Gemara, Eima v'asiyana. No, just the opposite. Lo'ilu Beishamai didn't follow Beishamai. And what did Reb Tarfin mean when he said, Masai tovei tzaras abas liyodai v'esoena? He didn't mean to be Mekai in the midst of tzaras, just the opposite. V'asiyana, I'm going to allow her to get married, l'shuk. I want to dafka go and be mafkir from. It doesn't sound like it. Right? What does ta'avni sound like? Ta'avni sounds like he wants to do something that's unconventional, something that's non-traditional, something that's controversial. He wants to make a point that the halacha is like Beishamai. So ta'avni doesn't sound like he says, I want to do Beisil. Everyone does Beisil. Shkan kunst to do Beisil. Kayach tateradif. You want to go ahead and you want to show not that way. So the Gemara says, lafukim d'reichem anuri. No, the reason he used this lashon of ta'avni, because it was a little bit of a chiddush, because it was Rabbi Yechon Menuri that said that even according to Beisil, she has to get chalitza before she gets married. Lashog, and now it says to Avni, he wanted that she should be able to get married without actually needing a chalitza. Now, what comes to mind after we learn this Gemara, before we go weiter? This, the Havamin of the Gemara, that Rav Tarfin wanted to be matet Tzaras Abbas, certainly sounds like this is Rav Tarfin Lashitasa in the first parak of Masechta's Brachas with regards to Kriyashma. And by the way, isn't that Mishnah the biggest raya in the world that Beishamai used to follow Beishamai? It's one of the first Mishnahs in Shisha Sidbe Mishnah. It's right in the beginning of Shas. Rav Tarfin was Machmer Kedivri Bishamai. It's Toisvis Kash in the beginning of the Sugya on the top of Daf Yudal and Aleph. And again, Bez Hashem, hopefully we'll get to this tomorrow. But for now, we have some more festive Toshmas. Zot Gemara Toshma. This is a Yevamis Toshma. Maisa, there was a story of Bitesh Rabbi Gamliel with the daughter of Rabbi Gamliel, Shahisa Nesuya La Abba Achiv. She was married to Abba, who was Rabbi Gamliel's brother, Umeis Beloy Banim. And then Abba died and left over no children. V'yibeim Rabbi Gamliel es sarasa. And Rabbi Gamliel was miyabeim the Tzaras Abbas. So, the cases of Tzaras Erva that we've been talking about until now were Reuven and Shimon. Reuven is married to two wives. One is Shimon's Erva, and there's another wife. Shimon's Erva is the Erva. The other wife is the Tzaras Erva. Reuven dies, leaves over no children. The Erva and the Tzaras Erva fall yibam. Al zeh nemar, the first mission, the first sugya, Masechtas Yevamos. This Braisa puts names to the faces. This Braisa actually names Reuven and Shimon. Reuven was Abba, who was Rabbi Gamliel, the Nasi's brother. Shimon was Rabbi Gamliel. Abba was married to Rabbi Gamliel's daughter, and he also had another wife. Abba died so that Rabbi Gamliel's daughter and the Tzara both fell a Yibam. The Braisa says, V'yibim Rabbi Gamliel, es sarasa. The Rabbi Gamliel actually did Yibam on the Tzara. So what do you see? Rabbi Gamliel was mater for himself, Tzara Serva. Clearly, he held like Bishamai, but that's not the punchline of the Sugya. Punchline of the Sugya is that Bishamai held like Bishamai, and the Bishamai actually followed Bishamai. Says Zokta Gemara, you have a real life story with great Rabbi Gamliel, L'chur, in accordance with the opinion of Bishamai, is being matted Tzara Serva. Says Zokta Gemara, this is the biggest ride that Asu Vasu, but the Gemara says it can't be, because Vitizbara. Let me ask you the obvious question. Rabbi Gamliel, Mitamid Bishamai, Bitmiya, right? What's Rabbi Gamliel, Mitamid Bishamai? Rashi, Faloi mi bnei bon of Shal Hillelu. He was a descendant of Hillel. So how can you say Rabbi Gamliel is following the Shita Bishamai? You have to say that even though really this Tzara should have been a Tzara Serva, but she wasn't a Tzara Serva. The reason is because Rabbi Gamliel's daughter was different. How so? The islandess Havar. She was an islandess. So what? So it comes out that the Tzara Serva was a Tzara islandess, and Rabbi Gamliel held like Rava sheet on the top of Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis Hilchas Tzoras Islandes Muteres Vafilu Tzoras Bitay Islandes, and it's for that reason it was mutter for him to marry the Tzara. It's because she had a din of a Tzoras Bitay Islandes, and like the sheet, not like Rav Asi who holds Tzoras Islandes Asura, but like the sheet of Rava that even Tzoras Bitay Islandes is Muteres, and that's why it was mutter. But the Gemara says it can't be because Hamidik Tani Seifa. This is Seifa. This is Braisa. The Seifa says Achirim Oimrim. Others say, also known as Rameir B'shem Acher, but Achirim Oimrim Bitesh Rav Gamliel Islandes. So that you want to know why Rabbi Gamliel married the Tzara, because Bitesh Rabbi Gamliel was an islandess. What do you see from here? Michal Tanakama Sover, Lav islandess Oyso. Tanakama holds she wasn't an islandess, because if Tanakama says that the only reason Rabbi Gamliel was able to marry the Tzara is because she was a Tzara's Bitay islandess, so what's the machloik between Acherim and the Tanakama? So the Gemara says no. La'olam, the Tanakama held that the reason Rabbi Gamliel was able to be Miyab and the Tzara was because she was a Tzara's Bitay islandess. And Acherim holds the reason she was allowed to marry the Tzara was because she was a Tzara's Bitay islandess. So what's the machloik? Nafkamina is why Tzara's Bitay Islandess was mutter. The Tanakhama held that Tzara's Bitay Islandess is mutter mi ikar adin, like Rav Ashita and Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis. And that's why Rabbi Gamliel was able to miyabim the Tzara. Acherim held that Tzara's Bitay Islandess is really also like Rav Asi, that really just because she's a Tzara's Bitay Islandess, that wouldn't be a reason for her to be mutter. Why then was she mutter? Because what happened was Islandess hoysa. He discovered that she was an islandess. An islandess hoysa, if she's nimtso islandess, what happens? It's oiker the kedusha l'mafreya, because we deem it to be a mekachtois. So it comes out he was really never married to the islandess. That's Abba, Rabbi Gamliel's brother, and as a result, the tzara is not a tzara ever. So they both held that the reason Rabbi Gamliel was able to miyabim the tzara is because Rabbi Gamliel's daughter was an islandess. What's the machloikis? The machloikis is why islandess impacted it. And even more in the metzias, did he know she was an islandess, or did he not know she was an islandess? Is it because Tzaras Bitay Islandess is muteres? So even if he knew she was an islandess, still she would have been mutter? Or is it only because he didn't know she was an islandess, so it came out that it was a mekach tois, and that's why she wasn't a Tzaras ever? But either way, la'olam, Rabbi Gamliel held that Saras Erva is Aser, Vaharaya, Rabbi Gamliel is an Enakel of Hillel Azakin, so there's no way he's going to go connect this Psak. Aye, what's Pshat Rabbi Gamliel? That Rabbi Gamliel married the Tzara, L'chari, she was a Tzara Sever, the Teretz says she was a Tzara Sbita Islands. Iba Yisema, the Gemara says, you could say a different Teretz, that the reason Rabbi Gamliel married the Tzara Serva, according to the Tanakhama, meaning Acherim, we know why. Acherim said clearly that the reason Rabbi Gamliel married the Tzara is because Bita was an islandess. The question is the Tanakhama. The first Pshat, even the Tanakhama holds she was an islandess. What's the Machloikis? What the gather of the Ptor islandess was. But for Iba Yisrael, you can say a whole different Pshat in Tanakhama, and that is Kines Ulubasoiv Giresh Ikebenayim. What happened was, Abba was married to Rabbi Gamliel's daughter. However, before Abba died, he divorced Rabbi Gamliel's daughter. And Rabbi Gamliel held that even though Abba was married to his daughter and to a tzara at the same time, she didn't have a din of a tzara as erva, because at the time that Reuven died, or at the time that Abba died, he wasn't married to her anymore. And for that reason, she didn't have a din of a tzara as erva. The Acherim held that in of itself would not have been enough of a reason for Rabbi Gamliel to have been able to marry the Tzara, because once they're married together at the same time, that in and of itself would be enough that she should be considered a Tzara Zara. What's the machloikis? Whether you say Nesuin Harishoinim Apilim or whether you say Misa Mapels. The Gemara Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. It's a little bit of a chazara here. So, according to Acherim, if the fact that they were married together makes her a Tzara Zara, how is Rabbi Gamliel allowed to marry the Tzara? The Teretz is, she was an islandess, and because she was an islandess, that's why it was mutter. But the bottom line is that Avada Rabbi Gamliel held that Yinala be Miyabim Mitzara Servo, as if he deseyed the Hillel Azakin. Aye, if that's the case, so why was he allowed to? And don't tell me islandess, because that's Acherim Shiti, right? And Achanami, different terrors. You have to say Abba divorced her, and because Abba divorced her, and Misa Mapela, so they weren't married at the time of the Misa of Abba, so for that reason it wasn't a problem. Iba Yoseim, the Gemara says, you could say even a third shot, and that is Yesh Tanai Bebiya Ikibin Ayad. Maybe what happened was, when Abba married Rabbi Gamliel's daughter, he made a tanai in the Kedushin. There was a tanai. The Kedushin, the Nesun, was done ala tanai. And then afterwards, they lived together. And then what happened was, the tanai turned out was not fulfilled. As a result, someone's Mekadosh Shin Shal tanai, someone does a Nesun ala tanai, L'chayra, it should knock out the Nesun. However, it wasn't so passionate in this case. The reason it wasn't so passionate in this case is because there is a Shita that holds. Rashi quotes on Gemara, Mesechtes Ksubis, Perek HaMadr, but there is a Shita that holds that if someone does a Nesun ala tanai and there's a Be'ila, once there's a Be'ila, the whole tanai is off. And the reason is because Ein Adam Oysa Be'ilas Be'ilas Nos, and there's a concern that after the Bila, the Tanai is not going to be in the sky, and it's going to come out that the person was Tamazana. Nobody would do that. Yisrael Kedoshime. So for that reason, there is a Shita that owes. That's considered Mechila Al Tanai. And that's Sokta Gemara. That's what the Machloikis was over here. The Tanakama held Rabbi that the reason Rabbi Gamliel was able to marry the Tzara's Erva is because when Abba married Rabbi Gamliel's daughter, it was done ala Tanai, and the Tanai was knocked out. As a result, it was a Mekach Tois. But the Acherim hold, ain't Tanai Moyo Babiya. That once is a Biya, the Tanai is not a Tanai. So that in and of itself was not enough to knock out the Nesuin to Rabbi Gamliel's daughter. If that's the case, the Tzara was a Tzara's Erva. So if that's the case, how was Rabbi Gamliel able to be Miyabin her? The Teretz is Rabbi Gamliel was able to be Miyabim her because of the fact that she was an Ilus. But the bottom line is what was this Tashma? We thought we had a Raya. The Raya that we thought we had was from Rabbi Gamliel. We had a Maitz and Shahaya, Kachaya, where Rabbi Gamliel married a Tzara Sabas. It's fascinating. A real life story. Says Octa Gemara, isn't this a Raya that Tzara's Erva is Muteris, according to Beishamah, but not just Muteris, that we know that Beishamah used to actually fulfill the Shita. So the Gemara says, Rabbeinu Shalom. How does the Gemara say Rabbeinu Shalom? V'tizbira. How could you tell me that that's Pshat Rabbi Gamliel? Rabbi Gamliel is an Enakal of Hillel Azakin. There's no way in the world that he's going ahead and he's following Beisham. I said, what's Pshat Rabbi Gamliel? So the Gemara three Pshatim. Either his daughter turned out to be an islandess, or maybe his brother divorced his daughter before he actually died, or maybe there was a Tanai that was in the spot. As a result, it ended up being a Mekachta. Zok the Gemara, Masa from Misharashi. So Misharashi asked the Kasha. Maisna, there was a story of Rabbi Akiv. With the great Rabbi Akiva, Shalikit Esrig, he was Malakit an Esrig from an Esrig field, Be'echad B'Shvat, on Rosh Chodesh Shvat, V'nog by Bezi Surim. And he gave two types of maestros, Echad Divri B'Shamay, one like B'Shamay, Ve'echad Divri B'Sil, and one he did like B'Sil. So what was the case? The case was, it was Rosh Chodesh Shvat. The significance of Rosh Chodesh Shvat is, we know that maestros has a fiscal year. What is the fiscal year? Machleis B'Shamay B'Sil. According to B'Shamay, it's Rosh Chodesh Shvat. According to B'Sil, it's two B'Shvat. It's Chamisha, also B'Shvat. What does that mean? That means that any peiros that grew or were nislaki, depending on what the peiros were, according to Beis Shammai, before Rosh Chodesh Shvat, belonged to the Friyadiga year. After Rosh Chodesh Shvat, belonged to the coming year. According to Beis Shammai, the cutoff is not Rosh Chodesh, the cutoff is Chamishas. We're talking about an Esrig. An Esrig is defined based on when the Lakita was. When were you actually malakit the Esrig? Which means that according to Beis Shammai, what year the Esrig is going to belong to as it relates to Maisis will depend on was the Lakita before Rosh Chodesh Shvat, after Rosh Chodesh Shvat. According to Beis Hillel, it's going to depend on was the Lakita before Chamisha Asar B'Shvat, or was the Lakita after Chamisha Asar B'Shvat. Maisis Shehoya Kachoya, Rabbi Akiva was Malakit and Esrig on Rosh Chodesh Shvat. Now this was year 2 going into year 3 in the world of Shemitah, in the world of Chumas and Maisis. What does that mean? That means if it's year 2, you're going to be chayiv in Chumas Gedoyl, you're always chayiv in that. You'll be chayiv in Maisir Rishon, you're always chayiv in that. You'll be chayiv in Chumas Maisris, you're always chayiv in that. But you're also going to be chayiv in Maisir Sheni, because the second year of the Shemitah cycle, there's a chayiv Maisir Sheni. Years 1, 2, 4, and 5, you have to get Maisir Sheni. If it's year 3, then you're going to be chayiv in Maisir On. Now what happened was this was Rosh Chodesh Shvat. According to Beis Shammai, Rosh Chodesh Shvat is the following year, it's year 3. You chayiv in Maisir On. According to Beis Hillel, Rosh Chodesh Shvat is the previous year. It's not Chamisha Asar B'Shvayah, which means Yechayev in Maaseh Sheni. So what did Rabbi Akiva do? He was Noyag Beis Yisurin. Echad Kedivrei Beis Shammai, gave Maaseh Oni, thinking that it's the third year, it's already Rosh Chodesh like Beis Shammai. Echad Kedivrei Beis Hillel, gave Maaseh Sheni, assuming it's still the second year like Beis Hillel. Shema Mino, what do you see from here also? You see clearly that Beis Shammai followed Beis Shammai. Because even Beis Shammai didn't follow Beis Shammai, so what's Rabbi Akiva Sofik? At the end of the day, we know Rabbi Beis Shammai Shito, but we don't pass him like Beis Shammai. So the Gemara says, no. Well, maybe Beis Shammai didn't do Beis Shammai. So why did Rabbi Akiva give two Isurim? Not because he wanted a Bavarn Shitas Beis Shammai. Not because he had a Sofik. What? Maybe the Allah is like Beis Shammai. Because it doesn't matter. At the end of the day, Beis Shammai didn't even do Beis Shammai. But rather, his suffix was something else. His suffix was Gemara Yestapically. He had a suffix in his Messiah. He couldn't remember what Shitas Beis Hillel was. He couldn't remember if Beis Hillel held that Rosh Chodesh Shvat is Rosh Hashanah Lilanois, and to all the world, in the world of Maestris, or maybe really it's Chamisha Asar B'Shvat. So because of this suffix, therefore he had no choice but to be Noyik Beis Yisurim. But it's not because of Shitas Beis Shammai, it's because he had a suffix what Shitas Beis Hillel was. Another kasha. Masa Mar Zutro. Maisa, there was a story of Yolda Kalasi Shal Shammai Hazokin. That Shammai Hazokin, the patriarch of Shitas Beis Shammai's daughter-in-law, had a little baby. And it was Sukkot's time. Upiche says Amazeva. And Shammai went and he opened up the roof where this baby was sleeping. Vesikich al gabi mito. And he put Tzchach on top, Shvil Kotem, because of the cot. Now the context is Machlid B'Shammai Beis Hillel, when the shear, when the zman of chinuch is in terms of the mitzvah of sukkah. This is raid that we spoke about in the beginning of Masechtas Chagiga. But the point is, there was a machlokes in Beis Shammai Yisrael. And Beis Shammai Shita was that already a baby is obligated in chinuch. And halacha l'maisa, he went ahead and he actually put tzchach on top of a little baby. So the Gemara says, Shema Mina, what do you see from here? Also, you see clearly that Beis Shammai followed Beis Shammai. Because Beis Shammai didn't follow Beis Shammai, so why is Beis Shammai following Beis Shammai? Now, incidentally, this is Shammai Azokin. It's not Beis Shammai. But either way, snuck the Gemara, don't you have a right that they followed Shammai? So Gemara says, Hasam Aroya, Oimer Lafushe Avrakovit. There wasn't a problem. And the reason it wasn't a problem over there is because it wasn't nicker, it wasn't obvious that Beis Shammai was actually following Beis Shammai. Now, it's interesting. This is a little bit of a monkey wrench into the whole sugya. Because we're saying now that even though there was a sensitivity for Beis Shammai to follow Beis Hillel, because at the end of the day, the halacha is like Beis Hillel, but now we're saying that there's a stipulation to that. Because in the event that by Beis Shammai following Beis Shammai, it's not going to be nicker that they're following Beis Shammai, then it could be for sure Beis Shammai would have followed Beis Shammai. Which again, is a game changer in terms of understanding what's going on in our sugya. The question is, why? There's a Rashi on Amid Beis, the top Rashi on Amid Beis, Ayin Sham, where Rashi seems to say that the whole reason that Beis Shammai would have gone like Beis Hillel was based on Lois Hiskoydedu. And Lois Hiskoydedu was only, it looks like two Tyrus, like we spoke about yesterday. And being that over here, it's not Muchach that it looks like two Tyrus, so no worries about Lois Hiskoydedu. Just like in two Mekoymus, there's no Lois Hiskoydedu, or even two Batidina B'Makam Echad, there's no Lois Hiskoydedu, where it's not Muchach that it's agudas, agudas, you don't have to worry about it. And that's the whole sugya of whether Beis Shammai followed Beis Shammai or went like Beis Hillel, because it's rooted in the concept of lois hiskoydedu. And being that there's no lois hiskoydedu in this case, therefore it's not going to be a problem. The Ritva says a different pshat in the Gemara, but whatever the pshat is, the words of the Gemara are clear. That being that it wasn't muchach that they were following their own shita, But you can easily say that Shammai Azokin held like Beis Hillel, but at the same time, he just wanted to bring a little luft. He wanted to bring some good air, right? The weather's nice. Otherwise, he's a mitzvah potam and asukah probably anyways. So it's a nice day outside. You want some nice, cool, fresh air. As a result, he's doing it. It's not muchach that he's doing it for shitas Beis Shammai. As for that reason, it has nothing to do with our shmu. Zok the Gemara, nacha maisa. Masim marzutra, mazutra estakasha, maisa. There was a story. This story is mentioned in a Mishnah, in Mesachtes Mikvois, which means it's a Mikvois type of story. So the maisa was Shoikis Yehu. It happened with the Shoikis of Yehu. So what's a Shoikis? So Rashi says a Shoikis is an Evan. It's a very, very large stone. That's Chalula. It's hollow inside. Shetachas Tzinar. It was underneath a Tzinar. That's like a pipe. Hamekalech Mayim Inahar. That was flowing water from a mountain. It was known as Shoikis Yehu. Now this Shoikis Yehu was attached to a mikvah. The Shoikis Yehu itself didn't have the share of a mikvah. It wasn't big enough for there to be 40 sa of water. But at the same time, it was attached to a mikvah. So there was water from a mikvah through a tube that was attached to this mikvah. Through the concept of hashaka, what we say is that we can look at the two bodies of water as if they're mechubet to each other. Here's the chiddush. So that even the Shoikis Yehu, which in itself didn't really have 40 sa of make shaman for it to be a kasha to mikvah, but being that it was attached to a kasha body of water, so that was enough for it to now be kasha. And lamaisa, you know what happened in the Shoikis Yehu? Shoisi b'ri Yushalayim, it was Yushalayim by Sinakuva la mikvah, it was attached to a mikvah, v'chol tayre shoy b'yushalayim nasan al gaba. And this was like the most common place that people would be mitire their tires. People would go there and that's what they would do it. Okay. Now, what's the ma'isa? What's the significance? Shoch b'shamay. B'shamay heard about this mikvah, v'hir chivua. And they went ahead and they widened the hole that was attaching the Shoikis Yehu to the mikvah. And the reason was, b'shamay held, achati paches beruba. That the only time you can say hashaka, the only time if you have a body of water that's not really a kosher mikvah, but it's attached to a body of water that is a kosher mikvah. So we look at the smaller body of water as if it's mechubar to one. That's only if the wall that's separating these two bodies of water are paritz meruba ala oimen, or in the lashon of mikvahs, it's tipaches ruba. Most of the wall is knocked down. Then we look at it as one big matziv, and then we say it's going to be kosher. That was the shita b'sham. And b'shamay had heard that wasn't the metzias, and because it wasn't the metzias, they went and they broke down the wall, they knocked down the barrier, they made it Toritz Meruba. So like this, it's going to be okay. Now, but Tanan, what's the Shita Beis Hill? Shita is mentioned in Mishnah. Ear of Mikvois, if you want to be Ma'ar of Mikvois, and by the way, if this sounds familiar, it's because we just had this in the Tumah V'Tahirasug is in the end of Masechtas Chagiga. Chagiga Chafal from the base. So, Beis Hill Shita is that how do you attach to Mikvois? Kishveferis Anoy. As long as there's a hole that's the size of a shveferis hanoi, that's a tube, but ovia, taking in the thickness of the tube itself, not just the inside part, it's the external circumference, not just the internal, ubechalala, plus the internal as well, which is what, kishtei etzbois, it's the thickness of two fingers, chayzois, limkoima, where you can dray your fingers there. But the bottom line is, that what do you see from here? They still held that in order to attach this, you wouldn't need to have such a big opening, that's mechaber, these two bodies of water. It's beishamai that holds, that you need paritz meruba loimid, you need achatifach is beruba. And beishamai halacha lemaisa said, shoikis yeyu, make sure you make it bigger. It's the same tarot said in the previous Gemara. Now there it's different. It's being that it wasn't muchach that when Beis Shammai went ahead and they widened this hole, that they were doing it to be machsher the hashaka, because they could just say they just wanted the water to flow a little more smoothly. It should go a little more swimmingly. It's not muchach that they were doing it to make it into a kosher body of water. So some muchach that we're doing for shita b'shamay. It's for that reason. It's not going to be a problem. So the Gemara Toshma Nocha right. Amar Rabbi Elazar Tzadik. Elazar Tzadik said, "Kishayisi loy mitayre itzar Rabbi Yochanan Hachayrani." Elazar Tzadik said, "There was a time I was learning the Halakha Torah by Rabbi Yochanan Hachayrani. Ro'isi, I saw Shayoichel Pas Chareve b'Melach. He was mekayim the Mishnah Novice Kipshuta. He was eating Pas b'Melach. That's what he used to eat. He used to eat crusty bread together with salt. B'shnei b'tzayres. It's because it was a hunger year." It was hard to get food. Basi vaidati es abba. So Rabbi Elazar Tzadik said, I came to my father, Rabbi Tzadik, and I notified him, and I told him, what's going on? Amali told me, hoylich lo zesim, go bring him olives. Give him something to eat. Vaylachti lo, so I brought him olives. Ra oisam, so I brought him a barrel of olives, and inside this basket, he saw shein lachen, that the zesim were moist. And the reason they were moist is because they were bunched together very, very closely. And as a result, there was mayhal, right? There was like water that was oozing out liquids from the zesim, which made it wet. Amali, Shablazbat Soldom told him, Einani oichel zeisim. Ich esse nicht zeisim. I don't need zeisim. So the Gemara says, Basi vaydati as Abba. So Shablazbat says, I came home and I told my father, Reb Tzadik. I said, I went and I brought him zeisim. And he says, Ich esse nicht zeisim. Amali, so he told me, Leich ve'emar loy. Go tell him. Chavis nekuva haisa, that when the zeisim were put inside this chavis, really the chavis, the barrel originally was nekuva, it had a hole on it. Elish nesasmua shmarim. But what happened was the shmarim, the sediment was what closed it. Meaning, Rav Tzadik understood, the Rav Lazar Tzadik, that he understood that Rav Yochanan Achroni ate zeisim. Didn't eat zeisim, he ate zeisim. The reason he said he didn't eat zeisim was because he didn't want to eat these zeisim. And the reason he wanted to eat these zeisim is because he saw they were lach. If they're lach, they're mukhshar lekabel tumah. Food becomes roi lekabel tumah once it's wet, which meant that in the event that it came in contact with an amaretz or any form of tumah or a kuti or an any yehudi, they would be tumah. See, he was worried about the kashrus from a tumah v'taira perspective of these zeisim, and that's why he didn't want to eat it. So Reb Tzadik told Reb Lazar Tzadik, I chap, that's what Reb Yochanan Charan is bothered by. I totally understand. So this is what you should tell him. Tell him that when the zeisim were put into the chavis, it was a chavis nekuva. The fact that it's a chavis nekuva would have caused all the mayhal that's coming out of the zeisim to go out of the chavis. If they leave the chavis, that means that the person that put the zeisim in doesn't want the mayah. Because if he wants it, why would you put it in a basket that has holes? You'd put it in a basket that would contain the mayah. So if you didn't, and if it must be you don't want. If you don't want it, then that liquid is not machshir the zeisim lekabel tumah. So tell him that even though it's lach, it's not machshir lekabel tumah. Now he's going to say, what do you mean? But it was wet. It was wet. It's all there. It's not nekuva. No, sasmu shmarim. The sediment of the zeisim is a little thick and it plugged it. But in terms of the das of the Baal HaBayis, he put it into a chavas nekuva. And if you put it into a chavas nekuva, it doesn't satisfy the requirement of Masachtas Machshir, it's not something you have to worry about. Now, what does Sasmu Shmar have to do with anything? But tonight we learned in the Mishnah, Chavish Shal Zeisim, Migul Golem. If someone has a Chavish Shal Zeisim, that's Migul Golem. It's all kvetched together. Bishami, it says, Ain't Srich Lenakiv. You don't have to be Menakivit. It doesn't have to have any hole. In order for it not to be Mukhshal Kabal Tumah, it does have to have a hole, and if it doesn't have a hole, it's going to be Mukhshal Kabal Tumah. Machalit B'Shan B'Sil is whether the mayal that comes from Zeisin is a liquid that's Mukhshal Kabal Tumah, or whether it's not a liquid that's Mukhshal Kabal Tumah. B'Shan says it's not Mukhshal Kabal Tumah, and therefore, even if it has no Nekev, it's not a problem, because it wouldn't be machshel lekabel tumah anyways. Beisil says tzrichel anakiv, because Beisil holds that the mayal that's yaitzim in azeisin is machshel lekabel tumah. Aber umaydim, zok the Mishnah, shem nikva v'sasmu ha-shmarim shitahir. Everybody agrees that if it was nikva, if there was a hole, v'sasmu ha-shmarim, and then the shmarim plugged it, shnitahirah, it's for sure going to be tahirah. Meaning, even though at the end of the day, right now, it doesn't have a hole, but even Beisil is going to agree that it's going to be tahir. So, Zok Digmar, here's the punchline. V'afal pishne talmud shamayoye. Even though Reb Tzadik was a talmud of Shammai, now, if he was a talmud of Shammai, then really this whole conversation is a moot point. Because even though the zeisim will lach, but the moil that's yoytzim and has zeisim, the shamay sheet, this is not a problem. But kol maisav layotza elu kedivri beisil. But the maisi always follow beisil. See, he was makbit to put it into a chavis nekuva. It was a smush shmarim, and that's why it wasn't a problem. That's just a postscript to the story. So again, the maisa was Rabbi Yechan HaChirani, it was b'shnei b'tzayrus, he was eating pasav and melech. Rabbi Ozer b'tzadik is a talmud, he comes home, he tells his father, he says, Tata, we have to help my Rebbe. My Rebbe's mamish eating bread and salt. He has nothing to eat. So his father said, go bring him zeisim. So he takes zeisim and he puts it into a chavis nekuva. By the time he got there, it was already sasmu shmarim and it was wet. And Yochanan Achronai didn't want to eat it because he held it was mukhshal lekabel tumah. And as a result, it's going to be a problem. So the Gemara says, Blazer Tzadik came home and he told this to Rab Tzadik. So Rab Tzadik told him, go tell him that it was a chavis nekuva and explain to him that look, which he knows that if it's sasmu shmarim, it's not a problem, it's not going to be a problem. What's the punchline? The punchline is from the postscript of the story. Reb Tzadik was a Talmud of Shammai. If Reb Tzadik was a Talmud of Shammai, really he should not have had to have been makbid and putting it into a chavis nekuva. The reason he was makbid was is because kol maisav liyasa el kedivri beisil. Because he was always makbid to go like beisil. See, he anyways knew to put it into a chavis nekuva. Punkti was asmu shmarim, and that's why it wasn't a problem. We just need the last line. Snuk digmar. Yeah, Reb Shlomo asu. Reb Shlomo, you're going to tell me ultimately the Beis Shammai went like Beis Shammai. Hainu revusni. So that's the chiddush of Reb Tzadik. That he was a person that called Maisa Liyasa Alek Divir Beisil. Eli Yam Liyasu. But if everyone from Bishamai, anyone's went like Beisil, because they were Liyasu, my Revu say, what's the Chiddush? That's the Tashma. This is the Raya that it would seem from here that the Talmid of Bishamai did follow Beishame. Zok the Gemara, one final Tashma. Shnolu was Rabbi Yeshua. We're coming full circle. We're coming back to Tzaras Erev. They once asked Rabbi Yeshua, the great Rabbi Yeshua, Yeshua ben Chananya, the Baal Plukta of Rabbi Eliezer, the great Satam Rabbi Yechon ben Zaka. So they asked Rabbi Yeshua, Tzaras Abbas, ma, what's the halacha regarding a Tzaras Abbas? Amalahem, so he told him, Achleiz Beishame Bissel. And then they said, who's the halacha like? Amalami told them, why are you forcing me to get involved in between two great mountains, between two great camps, between Beishame and Beisil? And then he said, I'm afraid to opine, because I'm afraid they may come and kill me if I'm going to say what the halacha is. But then he said, I will say Eidos. There were two great families in Yerushalayim. Mishpachas based Tzavu mi ben Achmoy, and Mishpachas based Koifoy mi ben Mekoshish. Those were the names of the families. Shnehem b'nei Tzarois. They're the children of Tzarois. Umehem Kehanim Gedoilim. And from there, there are Kehanim Gedoilim. Veshimshu agavim Mizbeach. And they were Mishamish on the Mizbeach. So the Gemara says like this. They asked Rabbi Yeshua, what's the halacha about Tzarois Erva? And he was afraid to get involved. And he even said why he's afraid to get involved. Because he's afraid that if he's going to say the wrong thing, people are going to come after him. Because essentially, by him saying the wrong thing, he's implicating certain people, saying that they're not ksherim, and there could be a problem. So the Gemara says, yeah, Bishlam also. Bishlam, you're going to tell me, Bishami foul, Bishami had to come and see our enemy. I understand why he was afraid. He's afraid that the Olam is going to come running after him, and they're going to tell him that you just passled me. Rashi, Demashvile Mamzerim, Veliktalele. They may actually kill him. He was afraid they're going to push and kill him, Rashi says, for saying that they're Mamzer. Eliyam, Layasu. But if you can say Layasu, I might come and see our enemy. So why was he afraid? And the Gemara goes, Vait, Venei, Nami, the Asu. Even if it's true that they were also, I still have a problem. I have another kasha. Agav. This is parenthetic to the point that we're trying to make. We're just proving from Rabbi Yeshua that the Talmidim of Shami actually followed Bisham. Because if he would have said the wrong thing regarding Tzaras Erva, there were people that would have been deemed Mamzerim, which means that there would have been problems. And right, just to clarify, what does it mean there were people that would have been deemed Mamzerim? Anyone from Bishami that was the child of a Yibum with a Tzaras Erva in Beisil's world would have been considered a Mamzer. So by him going and passing the halachas like Beisil, you're creating Mamzerim, which is something he's afraid to do. Poshit Sakonis Nefashis. He's afraid. He said, I'm afraid for my life. Meaning it sounds like maybe he would have, but he wasn't mechuyev to get involved in this situation, which again is also a fascinating discussion, one of the subplots in today's daf. But either way, the Gemara says, but besides, I have another problem with this. Agav, I have another problem. Even if Beishami followed Beishami, why was Rabbi Shua worried? I'm Rabbi Shua. Rabbi Shua has a shita that we also saw in yesterday's daf, that ain't mamzer el mechayvim mises bezin. That the only time a child is a mamzer if he's born from a chayvim mises bezin, and a tzaras erva is at worst Eishes Ach Shloi B'Mokim Mitzvah, and Eishes Ach is an Erva of a Vosfara Oynish, a Chayvei Krisos, right? Some are Rayas, a Chayvei Mises Bezin, some are Chayvei Krisos, even within Chayvei Mises Bezin, some are Skilos, some are Chenek, some are Sreifa, right? There's different halachas within the world of Arayas. But the bottom line is that, says the Gemara, so what was Rabbi Yeshua worried about? He wasn't making anyone a mamzer. Rabbi Yeshua was going to say, I didn't say you're a mamzer, I don't hold you're a mamzer, I hold you're a child of an Eishes Ach, but at the same time, an Erev, the Gemara says that's true. The Gemara knew, and Rabbi Shua knew that by him saying Tzaras Erva Asur, like Bisol, it's not necessarily implicating anyone as a mamzer. But at the same time, nay, nami, the mamzer have a pogum yohava. But at the same time, the child would be considered a pogum. And what does it mean the child would be considered a pogum? The child is an imperfect child, which means at the very least the child would not be able to marry into kahuna. So when you need a greater yichus, that would be a problem. And how? What's the makar to this? Why should the child be a pogum? It's not a mamzer. So where does it become pogum? Mikal v'chomer me'almana. Kal v'chomer v'almana. Ma almana. Madachan almana she'en isura noyeg ba'koil b'na pogum. Madachan almana she'en isura noyeg ba'koil. Right? An almana that marries a kohen gadol. The child is a chal. It's a pasuk in the Torah. And that iser, almana with kohen gadol, is an iser that's not shavah ba'koil. Only a kohen gadol is not allowed to marry an almana. Even a kohen who's not allowed to marry a grush is allowed to marry an almana. So it's an iser that's not shavah ba'koil. Yet b'na is pogum, snazu, this sheisur, shava bakoil, this iser, which is an iser that relates to anybody, we're applicable, this iser is going to be negay everybody, certainly the child is going to be a pogum, and Rabbi Yeshua didn't want to get involved in this situation because he was worried about creating a pogum, which by the way, if that's the case, if he was worried not about mamzer, he was worried about pogum, then it's lebeis hagisois. It goes both ways. He didn't want to say that halacha is like Beis Hillel, because then if someone came from a yibum with a tzaras erev, that child's going to be a pogrom. He also doesn't want to say that halacha is like Beis Shammai, because then if somebody comes from Yevamah Leshuk, where there was a tzaras erev that was multiple yibum by chalitzo, that child's also going to be a pogrom. So it's not just in Beis Hillel klapi Beis Shammai, it's not just the enoch of Beis Shammai that maybe are going to have issues. It's really everybody. Everyone loses in this situation, depending on which way he goes. And it's for that reason, this was something that he wanted to stay away from. Abba Lameisa, one thing you do see, says the Gemara, you see that the Talmidim of Shammai certainly followed Beis Shammai. Because if they didn't follow Beis Shammai, what was he afraid of? What's the Messiah? So it seemed that Lameisa, at the end of the day, they followed Beis Shammai. Because otherwise, why are we even having this conversation? Zok the Gemara, one postscript to this Shalu, the question that was asked to Rabbi Yeshua. Again, they asked Rabbi Yeshua, Tzaras Abbas Mahu. And what did he tell him? He says, why are you getting me involved in a Graysa Machloikis? This is not something that I want to get involved in. And then at the end, he told them that I will say one thing, Meid Lochem, I can say Eidos, that there were two Mishpachas Gedoilos down in Yerushalayim. He even named the families. These children were Enoch of a tzaras erva, umehem kehanim gedoyim v'shim shol agabim mizbech. So the Gemara says, "Kabo minei tzaras." The question was, if the tzaras mutter, the kapashet lei bnei tzaras, and then he started talking about the children of the tzaras. So why did he talk about the children of the tzaras? That was never the question. The question was the tzaras themselves. So the Gemara says, very simple. Tarti kabo minei. They asked them two questions. The first question was tzaras mai. What's the halacha regarding the tzaras? And then they said, "Im tim tzoloi mat tzaras gebeis hillel." If you're going to tell me that halacha of the tzaras like beis hillel, that she's muteris l'shuk. There's no loisiyeshes a meisachut alishzar. Even without Yibam Mechalitzno, says question was bnei tzaris lebeisilo the beisilo lebeishamay ma. How would the bnei tzaris of beisilo be viewed in the world of beishamay? Meaning, how would beishamay perceive the bnei tzaris? So the Gemara asks an interesting question. L'may nafkamina? Why does it matter? Meaning, if you tell me that Allah is like beisilo, why do we care how the bnei beishamay would have perceived the bnei tzaris erva of beisilo? If we anyways don't paskin like Beis Shammai, why does that matter? So the Gemara says, it matters. The reason it matters is because whatever Beis Shammai would think of the Bnei Tzaras Erva, we can apply into our own world. Lemivshut Vlad Machzeg Rishosoy LeBeis Hillel. Because it would happen afkemina with a Vlad Machzeg Rishosoy Alibet LeBeis Hillel. Machzeg Rishosoy is also a Chai V'Lavin. The question is, if the Vlad of a Tzaras Erva that married Lashuk without Yibin V'Chalitza, according to Beis Shammai, is a pogrom, so that means that Bnei Chai V'Lavin are pogrom. If Bnei Chai V'Lavin are pogrom, so Bnei Machzeg Rishosoy, even L'Didan, are also going to be pogrom. If, however, the children are going to be kosher according to Beis Shammai, so they'll be kosher Libitas as well. In other words, the reason Rabbi Yeshua was going weiter, the reason he's continuing to discuss the Bnei Tzaras, is not because he's concerned about Beis Shammai. It's because he felt that there's an important halacha Libit Beis Hillel. What's the halacha? I don't know, Bnei Machzeg Rishosoy. Tois asks a very obvious question. Why are you jumping to Machzeg Rishosoy? Right? It's Negeya, Bnei Yevamah Leshuk. Not which she's a Tzaras Erva, which is not a Tzaras Erva. Right? In this case, the Tzaras Erva, according to Beis Hillel, is not an Issa Yevamah Leshuk. So the child is a Kasha. You want to know what's the Halacha Libet Beis Shammai? L'may Nafkamina, according to Beis Hillel? What do you mean? Nafkamina is, if you have a Yevamah Leshuk, that's not a Tzaras Erva. This is a regular bona fide Yevamah Leshuk. There's a lot in the Torah, like Sinya Eishas HaMeis HaChutz HaLishzah. You want to know what the halach of the children is going to be. The same exact Shiloh. What's the din of Yevamah Leshuk that gets married without Yevamah V'Chalitza? Is the child kosher apostle? Punkt in Beis Shammai, that case is true by a Tzaras Erva. Punkt in Beis Hillel, that case is not true in a Tzaras Erva. But at the end of the day, everyone agrees that something called like Seish HaMeis HaChutz HaLishzah, this is Yevamah's 101, it's a possum, there's a lot in one of the Tariq mitzvahs, so you want to know what the halacha of the child is, Tois Kash, Apash the Kash. But either way, Zok the Gemara, that was the second thing, and what would the truth start them? Me come in a Kavach Chaim, do we say Kavach Chaim? The Kavach Chaim mentioned a minute ago, Ma, Amon al Kain Gadol Sheini Surah Shavah Bakol, Ben Apogon, Chot Ma Dachan Amon, that's Eini Surah Shavah Bakol. And the Torah says clearly that if a Kain Gadol has a child from an Amon, the child is a Pogon. So here with the Isser Ish Shavah Bakol, Ein Adin Shepna Pogon, so certainly the child should be Pogon. By the way, this is reminiscent of what we saw earlier in the Masechta, in the Sugi Vaseidah Chaloisaseh, where the Gemara used the Svara of Loisaseh She'ene Shavah Bakol as a Kula in the world of Ein Shavah Bakol. In fact, it emerged from the Gemara that even though we know Aseh is not Doicha Loisaseh Vaseh, but Aseh is Doicha Loisaseh Vaseh She'ene Shavah Bakol. So you see, when a lav is Ein Shavah Bakol, it's a klishos
qualitatively in the lot. So the Gemara says, which is a kula de galav. Why? Because it's ainu shava bakol. Still, you see that what? The child is a pogum. So zu, sheisura shava bakol, machzegu shasai, or isi yuvam alashok. These are lavin that are shava bakol. In addition to the pogum, you can ask, mal amona she asma mischalalas. The halach is if the kangado marries an amona, which he's not allowed to do, he's boiled amona, she herself becomes a chalala. She herself is never allowed to marry a kayin, even though usually an amona is allowed to marry a kayin, but this amona will get it done like a grusha, Rashi says. She won't be able to marry a kohen. She'll never be able to eat truma. He atzma mechalelas, as opposed to a machze grushasai. If someone's machze grushasai, now she's anyways also to a kohen because she was a grusha by definition, but it doesn't impact her truma. So you don't have this he atzma mechalelas. So if you don't have the he atzma mechalelas, so based on that, maybe it's not a good kavachimer. Meaning, almana, although it's a lav shein yeshava bakoil, but he atzma mechalelas. Maybe that's why the child is mechal, as opposed to a grusha of amaluhu. So Yeshua answered him, and he told him, Siyara, and he said, I'm afraid, as it relates to the first question, I'm not getting involved. And you want to know about the children of Tzaris? I mean, I'm not telling you who the halacha is like. I'm not going there. You want to know, what about the children of Tzaris? And if someone, a Tzaris Erva, would get married without Yibam v'chalitza alibi de Beisil, what would be the din of the children? I could tell you as a fact that in Beisil's world, there's B'nai Tzaris, and he made Lochem, where there were many Kehanim Gedoilim, no one seemed to have a problem with them, and Vaistois, no one, even Beishamai seemed to have gone along with it, so nobody seemed to treat them as being pogum. So even Beishamai would agree that the Bnei Chai Ve'Lavin would not be considered pogum. So we're ending in the middle of a sugya, and he's daffing along. Baruch Hashem, we have a lot of related raid bites that go mamish to the core of today's daf. We have a related raid bite on Rav Tarfon. Rav Tarfon, who was prominently featured in today's daf as being a Talmud of Beis Shammai. We have a related Rebbe and Rabbi Yeshua, this last Gemara that we just learned, where Rabbi Yeshua didn't want to be Machriya between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, which was a very interesting approach to the world of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, because everyone else was very much Machriya. But Rabbi Yeshua was not Machriya. He said, Misyara ani shnei horim gedoilim, between two big machloikisin. It's not something he wanted to get involved in. We have some other related raid bites as well, Beis Shem tomorrow, where they can continue on this note with regards to the sugya of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel.